What's up, everyone from all around the world, including Canada, USA, areas of Long Island, plus the five boroughs of Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, Staten Island, Queens. I'm here to help and guide you about Anchor. Anchor is a free hosting site and phone app which is owned by Spotify. It's the easiest, awesome way to make a podcast. Why are you wasting your money paying for a hosting site to promote your podcast with limited storages? Forget about it. Let me break it down to you. There's creation tools that allow you to record, edit, monetize, distribute your podcast. Of course, add music intros, outros, uploading episodes with unlimited storages of your podcast right from your phones, computers, laptops, and tablets. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Plus, you get sponsorship. Isn't that great? It's everything you need to make a podcast, including the listeners supporting your show. Like I always say, if you have a dream of creating and becoming a podcaster host, like myself and individual friends that is co-hosting with me, go download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get a head start. Take advantage of the opportunity that's thrown in your face. If I could do it and reach success, so can you. I'm G Money Stacks. Thank you for listening. Let's go. Hey, good evening, everyone from the USA, Canada, all over the world. Long Island, aka Strong Island, the five spots of Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, Staten Island, and Queens. I'm your man, G Money Stacks, aka Lonely Nomad, aka the Gregonator, YouTuber, host with the most, and rookie podcaster of Queens, New York. And you are now rocking with the review show, Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast. And we have a great show for you today. We got a little bit of a singer and some TV shows and movies to review today. So, speaking of which, if you are new to the channel and you miss any previous episodes whatsoever, don't worry, I got you back. All you need to do is go subscribe to the Meticulous Vile Juice Podcast YouTube channel page. And make sure you enable alerts along with the notification bell. Grab the subscribe button. Leave a like and a comment along with more video content, upcoming episodes. Be sure to share the videos, the episodes, download your favorite episodes, and I will go over the audio streaming platforms at the end of the show. And before we even get to our first segment, I like to remind everybody that's following me on Instagram along with the show pages, don't forget to turn on your notifications, because I will be doing an Instagram live for the Meticulous Vile Juice Podcast page and my other show, Off the Meat Rack Chains New York Podcast. So make sure you turn your notifications on for postings, updates on episodes, and upcoming topics. You just name it. So other than that, of course, you can follow me on the gram, which is GMoneyStacks555 in Queens, New York, alongside with Meticulous Vile Juice Podcast. Excellent, fun, vibrant podcast, the Sports Edition Show, and of course, Off the Meat Rat Chains New York Podcast. Also on Facebook and Instagram as well. So make sure you turn on your notification bell so you can watch me in action while I am recording podcast episodes. So there you go. All right. Now that I got that out the way, we are going to jump into a segment right here that I would like to call the Chillax Man Cave Popcorn Lounge. And you guys probably know by now, of course, this is a segment about reviewing the TV shows and the movies. And I already created a segment on the side in regards to gaming. So I will be doing a review on the gaming aspect in the future. So you guys stay tuned for that one right there. So there you have it right there. Now that I got that out the way, we're going to jump into our first TV show review. Oh, sorry about that, folks. it's not what I meant to do. I'm sorry. That is not what I meant. Hold on. Hold on a minute. I'm sorry, folks. That's not what I meant to do. Sorry. That's not what I meant. I'm sorry about that. I meant to do this. Okay. All right. So our first segment is actually our first TV show review we're going to be talking about is Ballers. Okay. So Ballers is an American comedy drama television series created by Steven Levinson and starring Dwayne Johnson as Spencer Strathmore, a retired NFL player who must navigate his new career of choice as the financial manager of other NFL players. The series premiered on the American cable television network HBO on June 21st, 2015. With a pilot episode written by Steven Levinson and directed by Peter Berg. The fifth and final season premiered on August 25th, 2019 and concluded on October the 13th, 2019. And of course, it's starring The Rock, Rob Corddry, John David Washington, who was in Tenet, Omar Miller, Donovan W. Carter, Troy Garrity, London Brown, Jasmine Simon, and Ariel Cabell. So we're gonna go over the reception. I'm not even gonna go over the broadcast though. Yes, so on Rotten Tomatoes, the first season has an approval rating of 81% based on 47 reviews, with an average rating of 6.43 out of 10. The site's critical consensus reads, Ballers may not be a game changer, but it scores points with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who brings charm and depth to the NFL version of Entourage. On Metacritic, the season has a score of 65 out of 100, based on 35 critics, indicating generally favorable reviews. On Rotten Tomatoes, Season 2 has a rating of 67% based on 9 reviews, with an average rating of 6.65 out of 10. On Metacritic, the season has a score of 63 out of 100 based on 4 critics, indicating generally favorable reviews. On Rotten Tomatoes, the third season has a rating of 60% based on 5 reviews, with an average rating of 5 out of 10. Wow. Okay. Before I go to the next thing right here, I'd like to remind everybody, for those of you who are new listeners and current listeners that don't know what's going on, we are live and direct on YouTube, StreamYard, and alongside next to me is Instagram Live. Like I said before, I'm taking a break from 17 Live. I'm actually going to be back on 17 Live on Sundays from now on. I think it's better for me rather than me doing it for every two shows to do, so I figured one would be enough. So there you go. All right, so we have Power. Power is an American crime drama television series created and produced by Courtney A. Kemp in collaboration with Curtis 50 Cent Jackson and Prime 21. It aired on Starz Network from June 7th, 2014 to February 9th, 2020. Of course, it stars Amari Hardwick, Lilo Lauren, Natori Naughton, Joseph Sikora, Adam Huss, Catherine Narducci, Luis Antonio Ramos, Greg Serrano, Cinque Walls, Lucy Walters, Ratimi, David Romero, Shane Johnson, J.R. Ramirez, Jerry Ferrara, 50 Cent, Callan Mulvey, Michael Rainey Jr., Lala Anthony, Matt Cedeno, Sung Kang, William Sadler, Brandon Victor Dixon, Lawrence Tate, Mike Dupud, Cynthia Adai Robinson, Monique Gabriella Kernan, yeah, Michael J. Ferguson, Evan Handler, of course. Yeah, I just had to check to see if we were on mute, so it looks like we're good to go. Yeah, we're good. All right, so upon release, Power gained positive reviews for its pacing, atmosphere, and acting. It is one of Starz's most highly rated shows and one of cable's most watched shows. Prior to the premiere of the fifth season, Starz renewed the show for a sixth and final season,
which premiered on August 25th, 2019. let's go over the accolades. Okay, Women's Image Network Awards, Actress Drama Series Outstanding Show Written by a Woman, 47 NAACP Image Awards, Outstanding Drama Series, Outstanding Actor in a Drama Series, Outstanding Support Actress in a Drama Series, and of course, NAMIC Vision Awards, Best Performance, Notori Norton, Courtney Kemp, and Power, and Amari Hardwick all got nominated. So the Best Performance Drama, Amari Hardwick won that one. nominated for Actress Drama for the Women's Image Network Awards, Notori Norton. Of course, you have the 48th NAACP Image Awards, Outstanding Drama Series, Outstanding Actor in a Drama Series, Power, and Amari Hardwick all got nominated. Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama Series, Notori Norton. won that one. Black Reels Awards for Television Outstanding Drama Series, nominated for Power. People's Choice Awards, Favorite Premium Drama Series, Power nominated. Outstanding Drama Series, Outstanding Actor in a Drama Series. And of course, this is for the 49th NAACP Image Awards, Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama Series, which is Power, Amari Hardwick, Notori Norton, all got nominated, all won. So Outstanding Performance by a Youth Series, Special Television, Movie, or Limited Series, Michael Rainey Jr. 2018 Black Reel Awards for Television, Outstanding Actor, Drama Series, Amari Hardwick. NAMIC Vision Awards is Best Performance Drama. Of course, you have 50 Cent, Michael Rainey Jr., Power for Drama, all got nominated. Hollywood Music and Media Awards, Outstanding Music Supervision Television, Jennifer Ross, 50th NAACP Image Awards, Outstanding Drama Series, Power, both won that one. 34th Annual Imaging Award, Lauren, nominated. 51st NAACP Image Awards for 2020, Outstanding Actor in a Drama Series, Amari Hardwick won that one. Now we're gonna go to the reception. Okay, season one of Power received mixed reviews from critics. Review aggregator Metacritic gives the season a score of 57 out of 100 based on 15 reviews, indicating a mixed reaction to the series. Review aggregator Rotten Tomatoes gives the season a score of 41% based on 17 reviews with an average rating of 5.72 out of 10. The site's consensus states Power suffers from excessive plotting and the use of overly familiar by the numbers story elements. Tim Goodwin of The Hollywood Reporter observed in his review, Power seemingly wants to be a show that tells a big, complicated, meaningful story about, well, the perils and the problems of power and how one man deals with them. The New York Daily News staff writes in their review, end quote, Power hits on all cylinders as it returns for its second season. Throw a couple of great women in Ghost's life. His wife, Tasha, which is Notori Norton, and his recently resurfaced lifelong flame, Angela Leela Lauren. And you have drama that's hard not to keep watching. Critic Brian Lowy, of Variety, states in his review, end quote, The three previewed episodes of the show, created by the Good Wife alumna Courtney A. Kemp, move briskly enough, but they are still only moderately compelling. And while 50 Cent's participation provides some promotional heft, the allure of such behind-the-scenes marquee names is usually limited. Mostly is the undemanding escapism with all the requisite pay TV trappings along the lines of what Cinemax is offering in episodic form. While that might be a formula to keep ghosts visible for some time to come, creatively speaking, it leaves power a touch low on juice. Hold on a second. Let me just grab a drink. All right. Okay, season two. Review aggregator Rotten Tomatoes gives the season a score of 100% based on 9 reviews, with an average rating of 7.83 out of 10. Review aggregator Metacritic gives the season a score of 75 out of 100 based on 4 reviews, indicating a generally favorable reaction to the series. Excuse me. Rotten Tomatoes gives the season a score of 78% based on 9 reviews with an average rating of 6.33 out of 10. Season 4. Rotten Tomatoes gives the season a score of 83% based on 6 reviews with an average rating of 8 out of 10. Season 5. Rotten Tomatoes gives the season a score of 100%. Based on 6 reviews with an average rating of 8.8 out of 10. How about that? You know what? Why not, man? I might review the spinoffs, man. Let's do that. All right. with the conclusion of the original series, it was announced that Starz had planned four upcoming spinoffs in the same universe as Power. These begin with Power Book 2 Ghosts, which, following shortly after the events of the original series, focuses on Ghost's son Tariq navigating his new criminal life and intending to shed his father's legacy while dealing with mounting pressure to protect his family, including his mother Tasha. The series will co-star Mary J. Blige and Method Man. The other spin-offs include Power Book 3, Raising Kanan, a prequel into the life of Kanan, 50 Cent. Power Book 4, Force, which, if indicative of the appearance of his car, gives fans hope that it will follow Tommy, which is played by Joseph Sikora, to Los Angeles, California, and Chicago. And Power Book 5 influenced a sequel set in the political world centering on Tate's, which is Lorenz Tate, ruthless rise to power. On August 4th, 2020, it was announced that Power Book 2 is set to premiered already on September 6th, 2020. On August 31st, 2020, it was announced that Power Book 3 Raising Kanan will premiere in July 18, 2021. In July 2021, the series was renewed for a second season ahead of its premiere. On February 27, 2021, it was announced that Power Book 4 Forced is set to premiere February 6, 2022. Okay, let's go review this. I haven't seen it, but let's take a look at this. So we got Power Book 2. Ghost is an American drama television series created by Courtney A. Kemp that premiered on September 6, 2020 on Stars, the series, I'm not sure who the hell. Anyway, the series is a sequel to the well-renowned series Power. In September 2020, the series was renewed for a second season, which premiered on November 21st, 2021. And of course, obviously, Michael Rainey Jr., Shane Johnson, Gianni Paolo, Melanie Libard, Lavelle Adams Gray, Daniel Bellomi. Well, not to be confused with Bologna, folks. Quincy Tyler Bernstein, Paige Hurd, Woody McClain, Justin Marcel, Manis, Manfred Mann, Latoya Tenatio, Mary J. Blige, Notori Norton, Paston Ashbrook, Burton Cohen, Alix LaPree, Daniel Sanjata, and Lorenz Tate. Okay, now we got the cast. Of course, I'm not going to go over the premise. You guys are more welcome to look for the premise for yourself. So we're going to go over the reception. This is not a spoiler, folks, so don't you worry about that one right there. Yeah, I'm not going to go over the ratings, so let's go over the accolades. Of course, NAACP Image Awards 2021, Power Book 2, Ghost, Outstanding Drama Series, Clifford Smith, Mary J. Blige for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama Series, Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama Series, all won that one. So, round of applause for Power Book 2, Ghost. Okay, now we're going to review Power Book 3. Power Book 3, Raising Kanan, is an American crime drama television series created by Sasha Penn that premiered on July 18, 2021 on Stars. The series is a spinoff of the longtime running series Power. In July 2021, the series was renewed for a second season ahead of its premiere. And this is starring Patina Miller, London Brown, Malcolm Mays, Joey Badass, Shane Lee Caswell, Haley Kilgore, Toby Sanderman, Lovie Simone, Omar Epps, and of course Mekhi Curtis. And 50 Cent is the narrator. Interesting. I actually heard the song Part of the Game already. I actually saw the video and stuff. It's pretty dope. Anyway, yeah, we'll go to the reception. Of course, the review aggregator website Rotten Tomatoes reported a 100% approval rating with an average rating of 9.33 out of 10 based on 6 credit reviews. Now, I'm not going to go over the ratings and stuff, so you guys are more than welcome to actually look that up for yourselves. So there you go. And I think that's about it for that one. We're going to go over a recent movie that just came out recently called King Richard. So King Richard is a 2021 American biographical drama film directed by Renato Marcus Green and written by Zach Balin that follows the life of Richard Williams, the father and coach of famed tennis players Venus and Serena Williams, who serve as executive producers of the film. It stars Will Smith in the title role, Anjanue Ellis, Sonia Sidney, Demi Singleton, Tony Goldwyn, and John Bartholdt. Of course, yeah, it's already there, so I don't have to do all of that. Of course, it had its world premiere at the 48th Telluride Film Festival on September 22nd of this year, 2021. It was theatrically released on November 19th, 2021 by Warner Brothers Pictures and on HBO Max streaming service on the same day. The film received positive reviews from critics with praise for the performances of Smith, Ellis, and Berto. It has grossed over $21 million. Okay, we're going to go to the reception now. Of course, as of December 5th, 2021, King Richard has grossed $13.4 million in the United States and Canada and $8.2 million in other territories for a worldwide total of $21.6 million. In the United States and Canada, the film was released alongside Ghostbusters Afterlife and was projected to gross $8 to $10 million from 3,250 theaters in its opening weekend. The film made $1.9 million on its first day, and it went on to debut to just $5.7 million. The low figure was attributed to the 145-minute runtime, as well as the film's availability on HBO Max. The film made $4.8 million over the five-day Thanksgiving frame, including $3.3 million in its second weekend, finishing seventh in its fourth weekend. The film earned $1.2 million, finishing ninth. Critical response. On the review aggregator website, Rotten Tomatoes, 91% of 224 reviews are positive, with an average rating of 7.6 out of 10. The website's critical consensus reads, in quote, King Richard transcends sport biopic formulas with refreshingly nuanced storytelling and a towering performance from Will Smith in the title role. On Metacritic, the film has a weighted average score of 76 out of 100 based on 53 critics, indicating generally favorable reviews. Audiences polled by CinemaScore gave the film an average grade of A on an A plus to F scale, while those at Post Track gave it a 94% positive reviews, with 89% saying they would definitely recommend it. Kevin Maurer of The Times gave the film 4 out of 5 stars, writing in quote, "A towering turn from Will Smith, his best since Ali, and one of the year's great screen performances defines nearly every frame of this film." Justin Chang of the Los Angeles Times described the film as an engrossing family drama that doubles as a sharp rethink of how a family operates within the overlapping, often overbearing spheres of race, class, sports, and celebrity. Joe Morgenstern of the Wall Street Journal criticized the film's length but said that it was a sports movie that transcends itself without losing track of itself. Wendy Idate of The Guardian gave the film 4 out of 5 stars, describing it as a crowd-pleasing biopic and writing, "Smith is excellent, fully inhabiting the character in one of the only roles to date that has required him to fully shed his habitual gloss of Will Smith charm." Clarice Lowry of The Independent also praised Smith's performance, writing, "It's one of those impressive fusions between actor and character, which all comes across so effortlessly on screen, but gives King Richard the lifeblood it needs to triumph as a film." Kate Austin Collins of Rolling Stone wrote, in quote, "The movie's brightest burning idea, and it is sincerely moving, is that Richard, for his flaws, does what he does on behalf of the young Black women he's raising. This rings true in real life and fiction." Allegra Frank of Slate was more critical of the film writing. Venus and Serena Williams are the names we rightly remember, but King Richard remains fixated on the male bravado that pushed for them to get their names out there in the first place. Kyle Smith of National Review wrote that the film makes the Saguaro tennis champs seem almost incidental to their own rise to greatness. Jesse Hassinger of the AV Club gave the film a grade of C+, writing that it keeps enough of Rich's messy past off screen to feel like a hagiography with a few concessions rather than a true warts and all portrait. Sabrina Williams, Rich's daughter, and Venus and Serena's older half-sister, has blasted the film for sanitizing Richard and ignoring his past, especially the wife and family he abandoned. Also, she also accuses him of using Venus and Serena to make himself rich. The movie was also criticized because it did not go into enough depth about Serena Williams and mainly focused on Venus Williams. Before I get to the accolades, I'd like to say something, man. Look. It is a fucking movie, okay? You're not going to be here with... Let me put myself back on screen here. Folks, it's a fucking movie, man. You're not going to cram every fucking story into one movie. Because if you try to do that, you're actually going to actually confuse people who are going to watch the movie in theaters. That's the whole point of making a movie. Movies are not movies in terms of fictional stories. There's a difference between fiction and nonfiction. Fiction is fake. Nonfiction is real. Okay? I can't stress this enough, though, man. Like people always got something to complain about and shit, man. Like, really. Like people who complain act like they want to do better. You can't necessarily be acting like this, man. Like, come on, man. If the film was in second place under Ghostbusters Afterlife, which I will review in the future, by the way. But come on, man. Let this movie live, man. Seriously. If they don't want to talk about King Richard's past or whatever, like what happens in the past should stay respectfully in the fucking past. Period. Okay, let's go over the accolades. I just had to speak my mind on that shit too, man. Anyway, so we go to the accolades of the awards. So we have Chicago International Film Festival, October 26, 2021. Of course, the category Audience Choice Award for Feature Film, King Richard, Best Supporting Actor, John Bernthal, who used to play The Punisher, also won that one. Detroit Film Critics Society, December 6, 2021, which is today, actually. Best Film, King Richard, Best Actor, Will Smith, Best Supporting Actress, Anjanue Ellis, all got nominated. So the Film Fest 1919, October 25th, 2021, which is 2 months ago. Audience Award, King Richard. You have the Heartfelt International Film Festival. Overall Audience Choice Award, King Richard. Pioneering, to be exact, Spirit Award, Will Smith, and King Richard. All won that one. Now all these things is already pending, so I can't really give you any more specifics, but You have the Hollywood Music and Media Awards, which happened November 17, 2021. Best Original Song in a Feature Film, Be Alive, Beyoncé and Dixon nominated. Miami International Film Festival, November 11, 2021. Audience Award, King Richard. Top 10 Best Actor, Best Supporting Actress. Of course, the Narrative Audience Award. You have the Best Pitch. You have the, yeah. So King Richard, Will Smith, Anjanue Ellis, and of course, King Richard also. They also won that one right there. And the SCAD Center and the SCAD Savannah Film Festival, October 30th, Outstanding Achievement in Cinema Award. Anjanue Ellis all won that one. So congratulations to Will Smith, Anjanue Ellis, and the rest that won for King Richard. Man. Whoever knew that Will Smith would be this the legendary actor that he is right now today. And yes, he played Ali, Muhammad Ali, which was a great movie actually. And if he could do that one, I'm pretty sure he could pull off King Richard. So congratulations to him and the cast. All right, and speaking of Will Smith, we're going to go over some Bad Boy movies. All right. Bad Boys is a 1995 American buddy cop action comedy film directed by Michael Bay in his feature directorial debut, produced by Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer, and starring Martin Lawrence and Will Smith as two Miami narcotics detectives, Marcus Burnett and Mike Lowry. The film received mixed reviews from critics and was commercially successful and gained a cult following. It spawned the Bad Boys trilogy, which includes two sequels, Bad Boys 2 and Bad Boys for Life, which I will review them next. And of course, obviously, Martin Lawrence, Will Smith, Tia Leone, Tichecki, Carlo, Teresa Randall, Joe Pantoliano. So the budget was $19 million. The box office, it made $141.4 million. Okay, that's why it's a good movie. All right, we're gonna go over the. Let's go over the reception. Bad Boys was commercially successful, grossing $141,407,024 worldwide. $65,807,024 in North America and $75,600,000 internationally. Critical reception. On Rotten Tomatoes, Bad Boys has an approval rating of 42% based on reviews from 64 critics with an average rating of 5.10 out of 10. The site's critical consensus reads, Bad Boys star Will Smith and Martin Lawrence have enjoyable chemistry. Unfortunately, director Michael Bay too often drowns it out with set pieces and explosions in place of an actual story. On Metacritic, the film has a weighted average score of 41 out of 100 based on 24 critics, indicating mixed or average reviews. Audiences polled by CinemaScore gave the film an average grade of A on an A plus to F scale. Most of the criticisms focused on the fact that despite the production of the film and the ability of the stars, the script did not diverge from the generic plot of a buddy cop genre film, instead opting for repeated use of formulaic scenes. Roger Ebert, in his video review of the film on At the Movies, noted that despite the highly energetic approach of the two lead actors and visual style of the film, their acting talents were mostly new wine in old bottles. He illustrated that many of the elements featured in the film, including both the plot and characters, had been recycled from other films, particularly those from the Lethal Weapon and Beverly Hills Cop series. Recurrent stock characters, police detective cliches, and overlong action scenes. In describing the archetypical cop buddy genre, action scene adhered to by the film, Ebert noted, in quote, "Whenever a movie like this starts to drag, there's always one infallible solution. Have a car chase and then blow something up real good." Ebert gave the film 2 out of 4 stars. Gene Siskel, in his appraisal of the film, said that he had lost interest in the film after its introduction due to the very formulaic approach, and repeated Roger Ebert's criticisms that the talents of the lead actors were wasted, suggesting that the production company did not spend significant time producing a script which would be suitable for their talents. Cisco gave the film 2 out of 4. Oh boy, that's gotta suck. And we're gonna go to Bad Boys 2. Of course, Bad Boys 2 is a 2003 American buddy cop action comedy film directed by Michael Bay, produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, and starring Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. The sequel to the 1995 film Bad Boys and the second film in the Bad Boy film series. The film follows detectives Burnett and Lowry investigating the flow of illegal drugs going into Miami. Yes, obviously, it's Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, Jody Mola, Gabrielle Union, Peter Stormare, Teresa Randall, Joe Pantoliano, Amir Mokri, of course, yeah. So Bad Boys 2 was released on July 18, 2003. It received generally negative reviews from critics and grossed $273 million worldwide. A third film, Bad Boys for Life, was released in January 2020, which I will review next. On Rotten Tomatoes, Bad Boys 2 holds an approval rating 23% on 183 reviews and a weighted average of 4.08 out of 10. The site's critical consensus states, in quotes, 2.5 hours of explosions and witless banter. On Metacritic, the film has weighted average score of 38 out of 100, based on 34 critics indicating generally unfavorable reviews. Audiences polled by CinemaScore gave the film an average grade of A on an A plus to F scale, same as the first film. Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times gave the film 1 out of a possible 4 stars, especially offended by one scene involving a teenage boy and the use of the word nigga. Oh, come on, man. Really? Saying the needless cruelty of the scene took me out of the movie and into the minds of its makers. What were they thinking? Have they so lost touch with human nature that they think audiences will like this scene? On an episode of At the Movies with Ebert and Roper, film critic Richard Roper named Bad Boys 2 the worst film of 2003, which I personally fucking disagree with this shit, because these are fucking morons who has fucking opinions just to bash a movie, oh, because it's not to their liking. Like cut it out with this bullshit. James Bertinelli of Real Views was even more negative about the film, rating it half a star out of 4 and stating Bad Boys 2 isn't just bad, it's a catastrophic violation of every aspect of cinema that I, as a film critic, hold dear. Oh gosh. Among the more positive reviews was Seattle Post Intelligencer critic Ellen A. Kim, who wrote that the film was modestly fun. If you like this type of movie, that is. The film was also praised by a few critics and viewers for its deftly handled action sequences and visual effects. Of course, according to the box office, the film was a financial success. It made $138 million North America and $135 million in other territories, totaling $273 million worldwide against a budget of $130 million, almost twice the gross of the original film. At the 2004 MTV Movie Awards, the film was nominated for Best Action Sequence for the Intercoastal Freeway Pursuit and Best On-Screen Team, but lost to Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. Good gosh. I ain't even watched those movies, man. And 51st Dates, respectfully. God damn. You know, I don't really like this. I don't really like this idea, man. I don't like this idea, man. So Bad Boys 2 was nominated at the 2nd Annual Visual Effects Society Awards for Outstanding Supporting Visual Effects in a Motion Picture. At the 2003 Stinkers Bad Movie Awards. What? Wait. Here's my question about that. Why would you make a fucking award show called the Stinkers Bad Movie Awards? Are you fucking kidding me? Anyway, man, the film won the award for worst sequel. Get the fuck out of here. It was also nominated for most intrusive musical score, but lost to Charlie's Angels Full Throttle. Come on. Yeah, didn't know there was a video game version of the film. So a video game version of the film known as Bad Boys Miami Takedown in North America was released in 2004 on the PlayStation 2, Xbox, GameCube, and Windows. Originally planned for release in late 2003 to tie in with the film's DVD release. The game was pushed back several months. The game failed to deliver any sorts of sales or critical acclaim due to poor development. It was given low ratings from any game websites. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I know what you're really thinking, man. Why would you create a fucking video game based on a movie? I mean, come on. They probably ran out of fucking ideas already, though, man. Oh, shit. So, in June 2008, Bay stated that he may direct Bad Boys 3, but that the greatest obstacle to the potential sequel would be the cost, as he and Will Smith demand some of the highest salaries in the film industry. By August 2009, Columbia Pictures had hired Peter Craig to write the script for Bad Boys 3. In February 2011, Martin Lawrence reiterated that the film was in development. In June 2014, Bruckheimer announced that the screenwriter, David Guggenheim, was working on the storyline for the prequel. 2 months later, Lawrence said a script had been written and parts had been cast. By June 2015, director Joe Carnahan was in early talks to write and possibly direct the film. 2 months later, Sony Pictures Entertainment announced that Bad Boys 3 would be released on February 17, 2017, and that additional sequel, Bad Boys 4, is scheduled to release on July 3, 2019. On March 5, 2016, the film was pushed back to June 2, 2017. Producers plan to begin production in early 2017. On August 11, 2016, the film was pushed back once again to January 12, 2018 to avoid box office competition with the upcoming DC film Wonder Woman and retitled Bad Boys for Life. Lawrence revealed on Jimmy Kimmel Live that filming may start in March 2017. On February 6, 2017, it was announced that the film's release date has been delayed for its third time to November 9, 2018. On March 17th, Carnahan left the movie due to scheduling conflicts. In August 2017, Sony removed the third film from their release schedule, and later in the month, Lawrence said the film would not be happening. In February 2018, it was reported that a sequel was again being planned and will be directed by Belgian directors Adil El Arbi and Bilal Fallah, with Martin Lawrence and Will Smith reprising their roles. Joe Pantoliano is also set to reprise his role as Captain Howard. Filming began in January 2019. Now, of course, I'm not going to review the television series quite yet. I'm not going to review that, most likely. But I am going to move on to the next one, which is Bad Boys for Life. Okay, I did see Bad Boys for Life, so I'm going to review it. So, Bad Boys for Life is a 2020 American action comedy film that is the sequel to Bad Boys 2, 2003, and the third installment in the Bad Boys franchise. Will Smith and Martin Lawrence reprise their roles in the film, which is directed by Adil and Bilal and written by Chris Bremner, Peter Krang, and Joe Carnahan. The film's cast also includes Paola Nunez, Vanessa Hudgens, Alexander Ludwig, Charles Melton, Kate Del Castillo, Nicky Jam, and Joe Pantoliano. It was produced by Smith, Jerry Bruckheimer, and Doug Belgrad. In Bad Boys for Life, Miami detectives Mike Lowry and Marcus Burnett investigate a string of murders tied to Lowry's troubled past. Obviously. Of course, a third Bad Boys film had been discussed over the years after the release of the second in 2003 with Michael Bay, stating that he would be interested in returning to direct, but budgetary constraints made going ahead difficult. The film went through several attempts to enter production over the course of a decade, with a variety of writers and directors attached. The project was eventually finalized and greenlit. October 2018, the film began the following year, lasting from January to June 2019. Principal photography took place in Atlanta, Miami, and Mexico City. Bad Boys for Life was theatrically released in the United States on January 17, 2020 by Sony Pictures, releasing under the Columbia Pictures label. The film was generally well received by critics, becoming the best reviewed film in the series. It grossed $426.5 million worldwide, making it the third highest grossing January release of all time, behind Kung Fu Panda 3 and American Sniper, and the fourth largest grossing film of 2020. Its box office run abruptly ended when theaters closed due to COVID-19 pandemic. Oh, Lord. Okay, the sequel. Okay, let's go to the reception first. So Bad Boys for Life grossed $204.4 million in the United States and Canada, and $220.1 million in other territories, for a worldwide total of $424.6 million against a production budget of $90 million. It is both the highest grossing film in the Bad Boys franchise and the highest grossing film released in January. In the United States and Canada, the film was released alongside Doolittle, not to be confused with Dr. Doolittle, folks, and was initially projected to gross $35 to $45 million from 3,740 during its three-day opening weekend, for a total of around $48 million over the full four-day MLK weekend. After making $23.5 million on its first day, including $6.36 million from Thursday night previews, estimates were raised to $68 million for 4 days. The film went on to debut to $62.2 million in its first 3 days and $73.4 million over four, the second best opening for the holiday. It made $34 million in its second weekend and $17.7 million in its third, remaining in first place both times. The box office performance of this film was affected by movie theaters closures in mid-March because of the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions. After the easing of initial restrictions, the film was released in three Santikos theaters locations in San Antonio, Texas, on May 1st, 2020. After a long delay, the film was released in China on August 14th and made $3.2 million in its first weekend. Critical response. IndieWire described reviews for Bad Boys for Life as mostly positive, while Screen Rant stated the critics were generally positive. The review aggregation website Rotten Tomatoes reported an approval rating of 76% based on 264 reviews and an average rating of 6.2 out of 10. The website's critics' consensus reads, loaded up with action and a double helping of leading man charisma, Bad Boys for Life reinvigorates the long-dormant franchise by playing squarely to its strengths. On Metacritic, the film has a weighted average score of 59 out of 100 based on 46 critics, indicating mix of average reviews. Audiences polled by CinemaScore gave the film an average grade of an A-plus to F scale, equivalent to the first two films. Post-Track reported an average rating of 4.5 out of 5 stars, with 73% of their respondents saying they would definitely recommend it. Hold on, folks. All right. Tom McCarthy of The Hollywood Reporter wrote that the third time really is the charm, and added, the two directors roll with ease between racoy comedy and raw drama to considerable effect. just as they crank up the tension on any number of occasions, occasionally with palpably visceral impact, to be exact. David Ehrlich of IndieWire gave the film a B+, calling it a fun, explosive, and even thoughtful action movie, and wrote, in quote, "Bad Boys for Life doesn't aim to raise the bar on its genre or rewrite the blockbuster rulebook, but it's a blast watching Lawrence and Smith revisit these characters and find a sensible place for them in the current Hollywood landscape." Okay, so we go to accolades, the BET Awards, Critics' Choice Super Awards, Best Movie, Best Action Movie, Best Actor in an Action Movie, of course, Will Smith, all got nominated. Favorite Movie, Favorite Male Movie Star, Will Smith won that one as well. Of course, you got the People's Choice Awards. You have Favorite Action Movie, Favorite Action Movie Star, Favorite Action Movie Star, Favorite Female Movie Star, and you have Saturn Awards, Best Action or Adventure, all got nominated. They all got nominated. So, eventually, there's a sequel following the opening weekend box office success of the film. Sony announced plans for a fourth installment with Chris Bremner returning to write the script. So this is going to be like a wait and see, folks. So we're not sure when that's going to happen, where the movie's going to take place as far as the setting. We don't know what's going to go down. So with that being said, let's see if there's any other. Oh, let me review this music artist real quick. That I like to call in a segment is Music Kool-Aid. And of course, y'all should know this by now. It's basically a segment about the music artist by his work in terms of music artists like singers and rappers. But in this case, this person is a singer. I actually had a chance to listen to it before I got on the air. We're gonna actually review this right about now. Her name is Neela. Okay. And for those of you who may not know who she is, I will gladly fill you in on that one right there. And let me just get this out of here. I'll fill you in on that one. Okay. So, Neela is an introspective extrovert who hails from South Florida with her spaceship currently stationed in Atlanta, Georgia. With her quirky and relatable mix of classic R&B and pop, a new age genre of art and pop, Neela wants her audience to feel, whether that feeling is empowerment and strength or electrifying sadness. Listening to her music will invoke emotion with heavy influences ranging from artists like the Beatles, Prince, and Frank Ocean. Neela reaches undiscovered planets, making music with feeling while creating storylines of self-love, feminist empowerment, passion, and pain, which are all displayed within her newest EP, What's Your Sign, which I actually got a chance to listen to already. Neela gives a taste of what's to come as she prepares for her deluxe EP dropping this year. You may have seen Neela at home on your television, starring in Sprite's Quench Your Thirst campaign, or photographed in a Nike store near you. From your headphones to your TV screens, Neela is a superstar, and you'll be seeing a lot more of her. So there you have it right there, man. Let me look up her Instagram real quick. Hang on a second, folks. As I look for this. Okay, we got Neela. Yes, here we go. All right, I'm going to actually review her body's work. So let's get to it. So discography has to do with the singles. Okay, so we got Baby Girl. So we got Baby Girl. We have Sage, which is an EP that has tracks like Can't Stand Your Friends, Nobody Else, Cool, Mary, Can't Stop Thinking About You. There's Comfy. There's No. There's Venus. Another EP, which I got a chance to listen to. Chips and Salsa, Bipolar Interlude, Talk About It, Red Moon, No, How Fire Is She, Skit. Of course, another single she has called Nasty. Of course, you got albums to go over, which is Level One. And the tracks goes like this. Play, Badmon, Digital, What's Up, Ready, Set It Off, Level One. What's Your Sign? Sorry, Roll Call, Nasty, Sweet, Fuck Me Up, New Religion, Salty, Stupid Motherfucker. And last but not least, another single is Wanna Do It, which was released September 15, 2021 of this year. So it's one song, 3 minutes and 16 seconds. Okay. Now that we got that out the way, let me get my verdict on the Neela music. Hold on a minute. Let me just put myself here. Let me just get my verdict on the Neela music. I actually took a chance to actually listen to it. Originally I was going to review Conway, but because I didn't get a chance to listen to his music, I will do a review on his music sometime in a future episode. So don't worry about that one right there. So Neela's music, I have to say, with the EPs and the singles and stuff like that, I actually enjoyed this shit though, man. I mean, you know, you talk about being vulnerable to the experiences of pain, and of course the vulnerability of being, you know, going through things and stuff, you know what I'm saying? What is mentally, what is physically, what is, like, you know, spiritually and stuff. I mean, it's all about energy, man. And she's a prime example of energy. Of course, good energy actually elevates positivity. So overall, I have to say that her music is off the chain. Her music is off the chain. It is fantastic work. I appreciate a storyteller of a music artist that talks about what's going on in his or her experience of life, whatever it is. It really touched me, man. So there you go. Fantastic. Off the chain, fire, and of course a wonderful masterpiece body of work. So there you go, right there. Yeah, and that's gonna do it for episode 32 of the review show, Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast. Listen, folks, if you like what you heard in today's episode or any previous episodes whatsoever, feel free to show some love by making a charitable donation to my Cash App, which is $GMoneyStacks555. That's $G, lowercase M-O-N-E-Y, capital S, lowercase T-A-C-K-Z, $555. Once again, it's not about breaking the bank and having a lot of money to show support. It's all about doing what you can and whatever amount that you are comfortable with. All right? Don't get overwhelmed and stressed out to have a lot of money to show support to somebody. It's not about having a lot of money, man, because if you really think about it, more support can't be bought. All right? And that's a fact. So there you have it right there. Also, you can follow the show on Instagram, Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast, alongside with Excellent Fun Vibrant Podcast, and my number one show that's reaching its 100th episode, which is like 6 episodes away from the 100th episode, which is Off the Meat Rack Chains New York Podcast. On Facebook and Instagram, all in one word. And you can follow me on the gram, which is GMoneyStacks555 in Queens, New York. And make sure you turn on your notifications, because I will be doing an Instagram live on both pages of Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast and Off the Meat Rat Chains New York Podcast. As for the Excellent Fun Vibrant Podcast, the Sports Edition show, I will be doing it on 17 Live as well on Sundays. All right. And of course, speaking of 17 Live, you can also follow me on, you can also follow me on there as well, which is G Money Stacks Queens, New York. And now we are going to go over where you can actually listen to the show. Now, if you are on Instagram of the show's page, which is Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast, what you want to do is you're going to see a link that says Linktree / Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast. When you see the link, it's going to take you to a couple of audio streaming platforms, which includes YouTube, which I'm gladly able to go over with you. So here we go. And let's go. Now here we go. Okay, so we can listen to the show episodes, including the new episodes, on Anchor, Audible, Amazon Music. You got Breaker, Castbox FM, you got Deezer, Listen Notes, Player FM, Pocket Cast, you got Pod Friend, Podcast Addict. We are also added on another streaming platform called Podo Polo, and of course Podchaser. Don't forget to go to the two links, Podchaser and Pod Friend, so you can give a 5-star rating, even though you don't have too much to say on there, but a 5-star rating will be appreciated. We are also on Reason FM, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and don't forget to listen to the Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast review show episodes on Google Podcasts. We on iHeartRadio, the number one app for music, radio, and podcasts. And last but not least, the YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe to the Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast YouTube channel page. Make sure you enable alerts along with the notification bell. Make sure you stay tuned for more video content, upcoming episodes, previous episodes. Leave a like and a comment along with the topics that was discussed with the episodes. Make sure you download your favorite episodes. Share the episodes as well, alongside with tell a friend to another friend. And make sure you tell all your friends and share the podcast along with the audio streaming platforms in the Linktree link, where it says Linktree / Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast, with the audio streaming platforms that I just went over. make sure you mention those streaming platforms to your friends as well. And like I said earlier in the beginning on the Instagram, make sure you turn on your notifications because I will be back tomorrow and Thursday for the Meticulous Vibe Juice podcast new episodes. All right. And I like to say, you know, make sure you reach out to your loved ones, whether it's your boyfriend, girlfriends, wives, husbands, friends, whoever you have, of course, athletes, of course, those individuals might be fine on the outside, but on the inside, they are not. And the reason why I'm mentioning mental health is because it's very important to actually, you know, listen to what they're going through. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we may not be mind readers, but at the same time, you know, communication is actually key. And of course, you don't have to wait every year when it comes to Mental Health Awareness Month, which is in May, and Mental Health Day, because it's 365 days in a year, and there is no such thing as a fucking person that's working 24/7. Because if that was the case, you would be a robot relying on motor oil and fucking electricity. just like the motorcycles and cars we drive. You get what I'm saying? And that's the point about mental health, man. It's not a taboo subject anymore, folks. So don't even think about making it sound like it's a boring topic to actually discuss, but it's actually a good thing. Because, you know, for me, I actually decided to make a fucking a segment on my first show off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast, the hashtag into a segment, because I feel that, you know, more mental health stuff needs to be talked about. Like I did yesterday in the sports edition show, Excellent Vibrant Podcast, about Ben Simmons, who is going through some stuff mentally on the inside. And you know, you can't really expect the players and everybody else to be perfect. Everybody's not going to be perfect. Everybody's not going to be 100% and stuff like that. It's just certain stuff that, you know, certain people are not going to understand. You know what I'm saying? And you know, that's pretty much my take on that shit though, man. So you guys ready for some free game? I'll tell you what that is. So for those of you who have a dream of being a podcast host and you would like to be interested in creating a podcast show like I'm doing right now with three shows underneath of my belt, three podcast shows underneath of my belt as well. Here's some key things that you need to start a podcast, all right? First and foremost, you need headphones. You need microphones. You also need a laptop or a computer to do your live streams, whether it's for YouTube and stuff like that. And I'm going to tie YouTube with StreamYard as a recommendation. StreamYard is a software that I use to tie in my YouTube channels for live stream podcast episodes that I'm doing. And of course, the creation tools is where you can create your segments, your talking points, where people can follow you on your social media handles. Of course, your websites of whether it's clothing, let's say food or any other type of product you're trying to create. It could be hair related, it could be anything. You know, it's it's also, you know, important to actually, you know, add that as well. And of course, I added the banner of where the name of the show is, which is right there on your screen, and alongside with the scrolling banner that's scrolling across your screen right there of the social media handles, as you can see. And also, who says that a podcast needs to be in a fancy fucking studio, man? That's not true at all, man. And you know that's a fucking fact. Also, you are able to, you know, create segments, like I said. You are also able to, you know, create some questions, whatever it is that you desire. All right. Now, you also want to come up with a name that represents you. And don't worry about the fucking haters, okay? The fucking garbage burgers, like that I like to call them, because they fucking don't matter. You matter. When it also, you matter on the inside, not just based on the outside. So there you go. So basically, what else you need? You also, sometimes some people will use audio programming on their laptops and stuff like that. But, you know, for some people it may work, and for others it may not. But, you know, some softwares actually come with audio, like StreamYard right here, which is 5 times better than fucking Zoom. You know what I'm saying? And of course, if you guys need some free game on how to start a podcast, you are more than welcome to reach out to me on my Instagram handle, which is gmoneystacks555 in Queens, New York. Make sure you DM me what you're trying to do. And as far as your story, what your synopsis of what your podcast is going to be about and what it's pertaining to. So there you have it right there. I'd like to say thank you to everybody that tuned in. And for those who couldn't make it, that's fine. But I will be back in the next episode. And I'll see you next time on the next episode. So make sure you have your make sure you wash your hands along with your hand sanitizer, water, soap. Make sure you have your water alongside with your Gatorade with electrolytes, because you need energy. And remember, you are only a human being first. You're a human being first. It's not about your skin color, all right? Period. I'm G Money Stacks. Thank you for watching, tuning in, and rocking with me. Peace and one love, and have a good night.
Check this out, folks. If you like what you heard, I need your help on a couple of things. I need you to go follow the show's page on Instagram, Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast, alongside with Off the Meat Rat Chains New York Podcast. And you can follow me also on my primary handle on the gram, which is GMoneyStacks555 in Queens, New York, for more postings of each episode with the topics. Also, go to YouTube and grab the subscribe button, enable alerts of the notification bell, so you can be reminded of when the show goes on the air live via live stream. More video content, like, comment on the episodes with the topics, upcoming episodes, previous episodes that will automatically be posted to the YouTube channel page. Share the videos, spread the word. Be sure to download your favorite episodes. Tell a friend to tell another friend. Share the podcast with audio streaming platforms with your friends. And also tell us what you think about the episodes and the topics, and what you thought about the topics as well. And what topics you think we should talk about next to review. I'm G Money Stacks. Thank you for listening to the show. Peace and one love.